Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And here once again is an opportunity for us to visit with you on the program of Light for the Pathway. For indeed it is by the grace of God that we're able to stand in this day. We want to look again at the book of the Scriptures and looking at a synopsis of it. The book today is that of Galatians, written by the Apostle Paul. It is addressed to the churches in Galatia, or in Asia Minor. And Paul is concerned about the believers there in Galatia, in that they have been bewitched by one. And he defends and preaches, again, the doctrine of being justified by faith. So many people think that they are justified by their what they call keeping of the law. Now, they break the law, and because they haven't done five things of the Ten Commandments, they feel like they're pretty good people. But the Scriptures tell us you don't break a portion of the law without breaking the whole law. You're guilty. You're guilty before God. How many of God's laws do you have to break before you become a transgressor of God's law? Any portion of it, you are a transgressor and you are a sinner. And you need to be justified and made right. You need to get things right with the Lord. And you cannot undo the fact that you have broken God's law. The way that that has to be rectified is that you must be born again. Now, when you are born again, all of your sins are laid on Jesus, and there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We are saved by faith. We're justified by faith. And the Apostle Paul teaches the believers at Galatia that salvation is by the work of the Lord imputing righteousness to the guilty party. And the sin of the guilty one has been imputed to Christ. And there is an attempt to make people go back under the law and to try to live by the law. Now, we do not repudiate God's law. We rejoice in this truth that Christ Jesus the Lord has fulfilled the law, and in Him we have kept God's law. But the false teacher, the false preachers, insist that you observe the ceremonial laws in order to be saved. And Paul preached against that in Galatia. And there were other things that he had to deal with when he was dealing with people who were in error. Who has bewitched you? So the gospel that was preached by Paul was the gospel given to Paul directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not something that he dreamt. It was that message given to him of God. And he went along faithfully proclaiming the word of God. He had to defend his message because there were those who rejected this message. But he did not hesitate to preach the message. He continued to preach it. He endured the hardships, the persecution that came from standing for the word. And at the same time, he gives instructions to the believers about those things that do come. There are false teachers. And there is a need to move on to being like Christ. And the focus is to be on the spiritual life. And we must continue to teach that which God's word teaches. Now, dear Heavenly Father, we again ask for thy help and plead the blood, and ask for power to minister the word. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. For Jesus' sake, amen. In Genesis now, chapter 45, and we are going to continue looking at the chapter 46, rather, where Joseph has now sent for his father, and his father comes to them in Goshen. And Joseph has made ready his chariot. He has his own private chariot. He goes to meet with his father, Israel, in Goshen, and there he presents himself to his father, whom he loved. He delighted in his father. He was taken away from his father. When he was taken away from his father, he was doing his father's will. He was taken away by his own brothers. And now he sees his father, the father has been living for this son whom he thought was dead. And so when he finds his father, he falls on his father's neck, and he weeps on the neck of his father, the scriptures say, for a good while. Would you call him a crybaby? You know, there are men who feel as though it's weak to cry. Well, I tell you, you will find our Lord guilty of crying. He wept. Here is Joseph, the prime minister of Egypt, during a very difficult time, and he wept for joy. You know, there are many men whose hearts are locked up in pride, and they don't want to show that they can rejoice in the way the Lord has worked. Tears are shed in joy. Tears of joy! He weeps on the neck of his father. And Israel also is so overjoyed in seeing his son. He says to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive." He said his life was fulfilled. This loss had been such a dominating matter in his life, until when he recovers the loss, he is content. He says, "There is nothing more that I can expect in life. I have received the greatest joy that one can ever know, thinking that a son is dead, and then to have the son brought back to life." You know, during wars, parents receive a message, and spouses, wives receive a message of a loved one who's been killed, and what is perceived to be a death taken in combat. And so the family is grieving over the loss. And then the word comes that the son wasn't either on the plane, he wasn't at that particular camp that was destroyed, or he was seriously injured and found to be living when they had thought that he was dead. And now the word is the one is still alive. Just think of the joy that goes on and the rejoicing in the heart of such a one. Now remember, this had been many years, 13, 15, it's about 18 or so years, perhaps 15 years, by the time that Joseph has gone living in Egypt and Jacob has gone suffering for the loss of his son, thinking his son was killed by a wild beast. And the brothers living with their lie. And now the truth has been brought forth. I wonder, you know, when that day when we meet the Lord, there will be tears. There will be tears of sorrow. I think of missed opportunities, things that we failed to do, had the opportunity to do, put things aside, thought we would come back to them. Or thought we would focus on the wrong, and we did focus, we do focus on the wrong thing, get our priorities out of order. Joseph now sees his father yet alive. Jacob sees his son yet alive, and they weep. And Joseph is now not a weakling, never was, but he was overpowered by his brothers. He says to his brothers and to his father, "I will go up and show Pharaoh." So he has this great respect and honor for Pharaoh and wants Pharaoh to share in his joy. Says unto Pharaoh, "My brethren and my father's house which are in the land of Canaan are come to me, come unto me. And this is a joyous time in the land of Egypt. It already was a joyous time in the house of Joseph when he saw his brothers and told them who he was. And the scriptures tell us in verse 32 that the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. This is what he says, I want you to say. And they brought their flocks and their herds and all they have. Had they decided to start feeding or taking care of cattle because they knew the source of their food coming from Egypt, and they wanted to maintain good relations with the people of Egypt, so they started using cattle, raising cattle, as opposed to sheep. Verse 33, and it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? Then ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even until now. But I ask you, is that true? Why is that true? Serving cattle from their youth? Well, he was a shepherd. You remember when he was gathering his herds down in Padan, when he was with his father-in-law, gathering all of those that he was prospering. Remember what he raised? Remember how that he prospered greatly because he had the sheep? And now the question is being asked. And the reason why I labor this point, again, don't be afraid to recognize Joseph as just a man. He was just a man. He was capable of all the pressures that you and I are capable of. And that is true for all of the men of the scriptures, save the God-man, the Lord Jesus. He was not one who would sin. He was tempted and tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Again, the reason why I labor this point that Joseph said what he said that I don't believe was true, is because you have people today, they're justifying their sin. And if you ask them, they can tell you why they did what they did. They can tell you why they didn't tell the truth. They can tell you why they violated God's law. And to them, it sounds very good. And they can tell you the pain they bore, the loneliness they felt. And they say, it's all right. It's all right. And they will go on to say, God wants me to be happy. Now, he didn't tell you that he wanted you to be happy. He wants you to be holy. Joseph goes on to tell them, verse 34, he says, verse 33, when Pharaoh asks you, what is your occupation? Then you shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and all our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And so, because of his vocation, they were willing to change and call it something else in order to be accepted in this land. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wouldest use this thy word to speak to our hearts and further enlighten us, we pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson.